This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It has been a good week. It's been a busy week. I had interviews for the first part of the week. And then I finally had enough stuff that had come out of those interviews that I really needed some catch-up time. So I spent the last 2 days of this week, Wednesday and Thursday, just putting together outlines and spent the majority portion of the days doing that. The latest count, I think we're up to something like 845 outlines. But it's going well. I actually met with a supervisor, higher-up advisor to the executives today. She was back in town, and we just had a great meeting. And when I told her that I had 48 meetings in the last 3 weeks, she just looked at me. But she was very happy with the progress, and everything seems to be moving along. There's still a lot to do. I'm turning up the air conditioning here a little bit because it's a little warm today. But things are puttering along, and Jesus is helping us. Now we're moving into the stage that we affectionately call herding cats. So now it's the stage where people have their assignments, and now we just kind of have to come behind them and kind of encourage them and nudge them along. As always, I have some that are just ripping through their assignments, done. I have others who are struggling a little bit with their assignments, so I'm going to come alongside them and help them a little bit. And then I have others who just haven't even started their assignments at all, but that is just the way it is when you're dealing with people. So everybody's got things to do, and many people are very busy, and especially right now because we closed the financial month on Tuesday. And then the missions teams will be closing over the next several days. So right now, everybody is really busy. So I'm going to wait till that settles down a little bit, and then I'll come back in and start encouraging people to get their outlines done. So good. I did have a chance to add to the legend today. I have this thing that I call adding to the legend, where I have these cute little moments where simply because Jesus whispers to me and simply because I've done this long enough, I'm able to come up with solutions to stuff that are difficult or perplexing to others. And there's a specific kind of look that I get or a specific tone in a voice that I get when I add to the legend that just makes me smile. I was sitting working today, and a couple of coworkers came over, and they said, "Oh, we're not supposed to talk to you." And I said, "No, that's fine. What do you need?" Because I haven't actually been over in the office consistently now for about 3 weeks in the IT office because I've been over doing all these interviews all day. And so I've just been in and out and in and out, and people know I'm really busy on the project, so they're trying to respect my time. But had a couple of buddies come over today, and they said, "Well, we got this query." And I said, "Oh, okay, that's fine." So it was SQL. So I trotted over there with them. And they were telling me all the things they had gone through to try to figure it out, and had thrashed back and forth and had gotten a database administrator involved, and the database administrator involved had thrashed back and forth about it. And they just could not figure out what was going on. And it was giving them the error message that it was giving them was true, but it was not really based on what they were doing. It's really a geek talk. It's hard to explain. Suffice it to say that when they started showing me it, of course, my first reserve internally was, oh, Jesus, help me with this. But the more they got talking about it, and I leaned over and I looked at the query, and then Jesus kind of reminded me a little bit. I went, "Oh, yeah, I've dealt with this before." So, I don't know. It might have been 5 minutes I was standing there talking to him about it before we had it solved. And one of the programmers just got this big grin on his face. And finally, he pointed at his face. He said, "See this? I forget what he said exactly, but basically it was, this is me just amazed that you could solve it that fast." And I said, well, buddy, you know, it's just hard won experience because honestly, I have beat my head against these things as well. And in addition to the fact that I've not only beat my head against it, but Jesus also reminded me that I had beat my head against it. It was like, oh yeah, okay, I know what this is. So those are always fun. And it's, I always enjoy helping people to begin with, but you know, it is actually a little funner when you do get a chance to sort of add to the legend. So anyways, that's going along fine. The Super Secret Project is coming along fine. It would be really cool if in a month or so I could actually talk about that, but I had a chance, the advisor to the executives that I had my meeting with today, she's and her husband have been involved in manufacturing business before, and so I took an opportunity to show it to her, and she thought the idea was really cool, and she asked me what my marketing plans were, and so we kind of went over some of that, and she said, no, she said, I think, I said, I've never done hard manufacturing before in marketing. She said, no, she said, I think you've got a good plan for your marketing. That's where you need to be. And so we talked a little bit, so I got a little advice from her, and I'm having at least one meeting tomorrow, possibly two tomorrow on that to try to nail down the final manufacturing, some of the final manufacturing pieces. And then I have a little bit of work to do, a little bit of refining, but I'm getting pretty close to actually getting a hard estimate on what it's going to cost me to manufacture maybe like 5,000 of them to start with. And then I've got buddies who can handle putting up the website and all that kind of junk. And so this is going to be very, very interesting. It's just really going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Because this is unlike anything I've done before, which is good because it kind of stretches my brain a little bit. And there's been some interesting conversations that I've had with Jesus about this. Anyways, this week I have been, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, been reading a couple of books. One book by, one book co-authored by, I think her name is Gina Borecka. Borecka, I think. I didn't actually make any notes today because I was so busy with the Super Secret Project last night trying to get that finished up. And I had come across her in a radio interview. I think it was on NPR. And she was talking and she was funny. And I got what she was saying, and it was for her book, It's Not That I'm Bitter, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying About Visible Panty Lines and Conquer the World. And so I thought, well, okay, you know, I listened to her a little bit, and frankly, I knew the viewpoint she was coming from, and I knew what the books were going to be. But I ordered them anyways because, as a writer, I'm always interested in understanding cultural viewpoint. And as a male writer, if I'm going to write convincing female characters, I really have to get a map and an understanding of female viewpoint and get some few little inside tidbits about women and interesting things that women do that men wouldn't think of doing, you know, so that things can kind of be sprinkled along there. And so because of that, I ordered these two books. I ordered the It's Not That I'm Bitter book, and then I also ordered another book called I'm With Stupid. And the I'm With Stupid book was done in conjunction with another male writer, and they were talking about the differences between the sexes. And so that was very interesting, both from a very secular viewpoint. So there weren't necessarily any solutions, just a lot of observations and the consequences of the way things are. And as I said just a few minutes ago, I pretty much knew what the viewpoint was going to be and how it was going to be approached. And it did affirm a lot of the viewpoint map that I have for the American female mindset and the generalized generic female mindset. And so it allowed me to put some of those pieces, firm up some of those pieces and say, yeah, okay, I'm on the right track for those things. Not the right track, the right track. So that part of it was really cool. But it's really fascinating. And this isn't just to talk about females, because men have their own set of things that these do. But the interview that I heard with Gina Borecka was when she was talking about shopping for swimsuits at 50 at TJ Maxx and what that ritual is like when summer is coming and women are shopping for a swimsuit when they're in their 50s. She was talking about how that, you know, women collect all of these swimsuits and go into the changing rooms. And once you get into the changing rooms, you can hear all sorts of exclamations like, as these 50-year-old women are trying on these swimming suits and looking at themselves in the mirror. And she went on to this whole discourse on being at the beach and looking at the other 50-year-old women in their swimsuits and talking to her friends and basically saying, okay, I don't look like her, do I? I really don't look like her. And being concerned that people are looking at her and coming to the conclusion that none of the men at the beach are necessarily looking at the 50-year-old women. They're only looking at the young things dressed in their bikinis and other revealing attire. And how that really the only people who are studying the 50-year-old women at the beach are other 50-year-old women at the beach. And as I was listening to all this, it's really interesting to me because I know that there is, in some ways, the cultural imperative to not immediately jump in and provide solutions when discussing certain things, because a solution is not the point of the discussion. Empathy is the point of the discussion. The point of the discussion is to share and share back and forth, not necessarily to say, well, see, if just X, Y, and Z were done, because that's the male way of going about it, and that does not engender any sympathy. However, having said all that, let me then just rush in and observe that there's an interesting self-defeating cycle in all this, because first of all, no one says you have to go to the beach, but of course there is a desire to go to the beach. Okay, well, there's consequences that come along with that. In that if you want to get a tan, you have to probably wear some kind of either revealing attire or, depending on the beach, no attire at all. which then will, of course, expose skin. So if you know that skin is about to be exposed, then it might make sense to prepare for that beyond just figuring out all the complaints you can make. Because even though a person is 50, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are beyond eating right and eating real food and getting some moderate exercise and shedding some of that which women find distasteful when they look into a mirror. I mean, what we're really talking about is the exercise of free will. And if you're going to exercise your free will and eat what you want and not necessarily get the proper amounts of exercise, I understand there's some people that have thyroid problems and hormonal problems, but the vast majority of people do not. Then it seems counterproductive to simply sit and complain about the fact that you don't like how you look in a bathing suit. But that whole thing. And then in reading Gina Barreca's work and in reading the I'm Not Stupid book and in reading the confirmation of how women approach the world and how women exist in the world, according to Gina Barreca, and it's been something I've observed, that many, many women exist in the world as strangers and foreigners to the world. And by that, I mean in a somewhat constant state of fear and a somewhat constant state of feeling powerless and of needing someone to protect them, needing someone to take care of them, needing someone to provide for them. That attitude is pervasive. And I don't know where I started this sentence. It was too long. I just happened to think as I was saying all that, I was fascinating today because on the Today Show, there was a guy who supposedly was a bigamist who was married to two women at the same time. And there's been some headlines about it. Well, both of these women are very attractive women. And this guy is not. Okay, I'm just telling you, he is not. And as he was sitting there with his second wife, who is a very attractive, much younger woman, I'm just saying to the TV, yeah, obviously you've got money. Because like, this is not necessarily a love story so much as it is a sugar daddy story. Now, obviously, I don't know this couple. Who knows? Maybe they're just madly in love. But I find it just really hard to believe that. But if he's wealthy, hey, you know, here's a woman who's decided, well, he's going to take care of me. All those kind of things were swirling around in my head this last week. I'm actually getting to the topic. This is not the topic. All those things were swirling around in my head last week. And as I was driving in one day this week, I was going through the Lord's Prayer. Because as I drive into work, I like to rehearse my paraphrase of the Lord's Prayer, which I've mentioned a couple of times, and is actually on my website. If you go to philfarron.com, there's one of the menu items called the Lord's Prayer. And I talk about how I paraphrased it after a little whisper said, why don't you rewrite the Lord's Prayer where you are the answer to every phrase? And so instead of saying, give us this day our daily bread, my paraphrase of that is, in essence, it's not exact, but in essence, help me not to hoard my resources today, but share them freely with those around me, understanding that just as you have provided for me today, you will provide for me tomorrow. And while I was in the midst of saying that, suddenly there was this locking of ideas together in my brain of, that's right, we really, really should make God our first source, our first understanding, our first provision, that He really is the one who's providing everything for us. And as I've been going out on my little walk, jog, runs in the morning, I've been listening over and over to the Sermon on the Mount, from which the Lord's Prayer comes. But another section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks from multiple verses about don't worry about stuff. Don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds. Your Heavenly Father has clothed all them. He knows exactly what you need. So don't worry about this stuff. And cascading through all that, there was suddenly this idea that popped into my head that the sad truth is we're all adulterers. Well, we're all idolaters in some way. I talked a couple of weeks about how God is always pursuing relationship with us, and yet we as humanity seem to try to do our utmost to stick something in between His relationship to us. And our idolatry is just another way of doing that. What Jesus was saying is that all our provision comes from Him. And if we're looking to a husband or to a wife for our provision, what we've done is we've inserted our husband and wife into that equation. Inserted that husband and wife between us and God. And we're looking to the husband or to the wife for our provision, not to God. But it's not only that, it can be anything. Money. Do we insert money into our relationship between us and God? Do we really trust that more than we trust God? Do we insert food into it? Where instead of taking our pleasure in Him, we take our pleasure in food. There's nothing wrong with enjoying good food. There's nothing wrong with dressing in finery. There's nothing wrong in earning a living or going out and earning lots of money. The problem becomes, and let me write a parenthetical phrase in this, it's your free will, you can do whatever you want. The problem becomes when we start inserting things between us and our relationship to God and putting our faith, hope, and trust and love and adoration in those things, then we diminish and we obstruct our communications with Him. Part of this whole super secret project thing, because it does have the potential to make me some money, is to stay focused on the fact that I'm not doing this to make money. I'm doing it because it's an interesting challenge that He whispered to me about. And if I come to the end of it and decide, you know what, yep, that's it, we're done, and I don't make a penny on it, it's still okay because it was a hoot. Because I learned a lot and it was fun. I'm getting my mail. And so I'm doing my best to keep from turning the super secret project into something that's getting inserted between myself and my relationship to God. It's just another partnership endeavor. And if we make money with it, fine. And if we don't make money with it, fine. It's not about the money. It's about the adventure. And so I just suggest to you to take a few moments and think about the things that your mind constantly drifts to. Do you find your mind constantly... I'm backing into my garage. Do you find your mind constantly drifting towards God through the day? As you're working, do you find yourself saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. That's the solution for that. Yay, tremendous. Do you find yourself thinking about how good He's been to you and how wondrous He's been? Or do you find yourself consumed with worry about your finances or on the hunt for the next pleasure or hoping that there's some way that you can make a little more money because then your life would be happy? What are you inserting between your relationship with God when He should really be the source of your joy, the source of your hope, the source of your wonder, and the source of your partnership in this life, so that you know that you're plugged in and you're connected to something greater than this existence? Because if you get plugged into that, things really get good. Because a lot of that worry quiets down. You just take one day at a time, like Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. You go through that day, that you do the best you can do with that day. You listen, you get hints from Jesus, you go do those things, and then over the long haul, you sit there and you watch it, and everything works out, and everything falls into place, and everything is just fine. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it